Executive Director of the Western Kentucky University Alumni Association. If you'd give the invocation, please.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Thank you for all the many blessings you continue to bestow upon all of our lives. Thank you for this talented group of individuals today who assemble their time and energy to benefit Western Kentucky University. Please give them the wisdom and the courage to make the strategic decisions to move this institution forward as we become a leading American university with international reach. As we mourn the death of Dr. John D. Minton, Sr., we think about the many accomplishments that he has made to this institution and the world at large, and we know you've welcomed him with open arms into your kingdom. Please be with all the Hilltoppers throughout the globe as they continue to do your will and continue to bring credit upon themselves, their families, this institution, and most of all to you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Good job.
Thank you, Donald. Our first activity today will be the oath of office being administered to Jonathan Bowles. Dr. Lanza. Liz.
This is a very special pin that only members of the Board of Regents had.
It was
commissioned 11 years ago, and this is something that many of yours to keep forever, and we wear it forever and wear it proudly. And it's a very special thing that Board of Members had to share among themselves. And I'm honored to present this to you and to the class of this year.
Officially welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you.
At this time, we have two resolutions to be read. They're in recognition of people who have served as regents, and I've asked Yvette Haskins to read the resolution and have that be put into the minutes regarding Jeannie Johnson. Would you do so, please?
Yes. Resolution. Whereas Ms. Jeannie L. Johnson of Marion, Kentucky, has served as a member of the Board of Regents of Western Kentucky University from April 27, 2007 to July 18, 2008, and whereas her term of office was characterized by her able leadership, faithful service, and dedication to her responsibilities to the university, the Board of Regents, and to all Western Kentucky University students. And whereas her loyal service and leadership have made significant and lasting contributions to the university, and whereas such leadership and dedicated efforts are deserving of special recognition. Therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Regents of Western Kentucky University, in a meeting on July 18, 2008, does hereby express its appreciation to Ms. Jeannie L. Johnson for her contributions and extends best personal wishes for continued success in all her endeavors. Be it further resolved that this resolution be spread upon the minutes and a copy thereof be presented to Ms. Johnson as an expression of the esteem in which she is held by members of this board. Ordered at Bowling Green, Kentucky, this 18th day of July in the year of our Lord, 2008. Lois W. Gray, Chair of the Board of Regents, and Gary A. Ransdell, President, Western Kentucky University.
Thank you for doing that. It's my understanding that Jeannie's going to be in law school this fall. Is that correct?
Correct.
So she's at UK?
Just got married a few weeks ago, and life is good.
All right.
Mrs. Fisher.
And Forrest Roberts, would you please read the resolution for LaDonna Rogers, please?
All right. Resolution, whereas Mrs. LaDonna G. Rogers, Glasgow, Kentucky, has served as a member of the Board of Regents of Western Kentucky University from June 30, 2002 to June 30, 2008, and whereas this was a transformative period in the life of Western Kentucky University, and whereas her term of office was characterized by able leadership, wise counsel, sound business acumen, and faithful service, and whereas her loyal service and dedication to her responsibilities have made significant and lasting contributions to the university, and whereas Ms. Rogers has given unselflessly of her time, energies, and resources to make Western Kentucky University better, and whereas such leadership and dedicated efforts are deserving of special recognition, therefore be it resolved that the Board of Regents of Western Kentucky University, in a meeting on July 18, 2008, does hereby express its appreciation to Ms. LaDonna G. Rogers for her many contributions and for her special Hilltopper enthusiasm, and extends best personal wishes for continued success in all her endeavors. Be it further resolved that this resolution be spread upon the minutes, and a copy thereof be presented to Ms. Rogers as an expression of the esteem in which she is held by members of this board. Ordered at Bowling Green, Kentucky, this 18th day of July, in the year of our Lord, 2008, Lois W. Gray, Chair, Board of Regents, Gary A. Ransdell, President, Western Kentucky University.
Thank you. We do appreciate the way in which both of these ladies served and helped forward the goals of WKU, and they are missed, and we wish them the very best. So it's been our joy to serve with them. I would request of the board that we consider and have a motion to prepare a resolution to Kenny Perry, should he be selected to be a part of the Ryder Cup team representing the United States. He is a Kentuckian. He lives in the area and is a WKU grad and is a credit to all of us in the way he conducts himself and the way he plays golf. And so with that in mind, should he be selected, a resolution, the motion would be to prepare a resolution that we would present to him that recognizes him as a leader in representing WKU, the Commonwealth, and the U.S., and our pride in him and his contributions. Would there be a motion to do that, provided he is selected for the Ryder Cup?
So moved.
Is there a second? All right. Any discussion? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
We'll prepare that, and as soon as that is official and announced, we'll affix the chair's signature to that and get that to him. And that event will be in Louisville in mid-September. Exact dates are, bear with me a minute. I have my calendar right here.
What's the date of it?
September 18, 19, 20, and 21. It concludes on Sunday, the 21st of September.
All right. It's a beautiful golf course up there at Valhalla. You like to go up and down hills a lot. It's very...
The U.S. Ryder Cup team and Europe's team and the world will have to pause for a few minutes while we have our opening football game that Saturday, but they can resume play on Sunday.
I'm sure they'll have it on the screens, aren't they? As well. All right. Madam Secretary, the roll call, please.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Bob.
Here.
Ms. Gray.
Here.
Ms. Haskins.
Present.
Mrs. Hughes.
Here.
Mr. Johnson?
Here.
Mr. Meyer?
Here.
Dr. Minter?
Here.
Mrs. Smith? Mr. Zelke?
All right. Thank you.
You didn't call me.
You missed Forrest.
Ms. Roberts. I had it written down, but I had LaDonna Rogers.
Now that those of us who are here know we're here, we're all set to go. at this point in time, I would call on the committee, Ms. Hughes, that you would give a recommendation at this time in the form of a motion is in order.
Okay, Madam Chairman, the nominating committee,
yes,
consisting of LaDonna Rogers and Judy Hughes, met and contacted the following who agreed to serve, if elected, for the year 2008-2009. They are Lois Gray, Chair, Jim Meyer, Vice Chair, Liz Esther, Secretary. Do you want me to put that in the form of a motion?
You should, yes, please.
Yes, I so move that the following officers, Lois Gray, Chair, Jim Meyer, Vice Chair, Liz Esther, Secretary, be our officers for this coming year.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Congratulations, Jim and Liz and Lois. All right. At this time, I would like to appoint our parliamentarian, Dr. Capps, to continue in that position as parliamentarian, and Vice President Mead to continue as the treasurer of this board. You have the minutes that you were prepared from the April 24th regular meeting. A motion to approve is in order at this time.
May I ask for a motion? May I make a motion to amend?
Let's have a motion, and then we can. I believe that's correct.
Right.
We have to have a motion first.
You can correct them and approve them as corrected, or you can have an amendment, whichever.
So moved, Chair.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Are there comments at this time?
I just wondered if it was my copy, and it may be my copy, but on pages 27 and 28 of the minute, it's been doubled.
Yeah.
And although I thought what I said was really important, it probably didn't merit being in here twice.
All right.
And I stand by every word. But what's not here are the comments made by other regents, Mrs. Rogers, and I believe Mrs. Roberts spoke as well, and that's what's missing on the second page, their comments.
So approved with the understanding that there are repetitions and omissions. Would that be correct to say?
Yes, that would.
All right.
Okay.
So at this point, we could...
I think that's in the computer. I think it was
vote to accept them,
yeah, okay,
with notations of the corrections that have been commented that need to be adjusted.
We'll need to bring that back to the next meeting and make sure that it's...
All right.
Okay.
That is cleared.
All right, that it's been corrected. All right. Hearing those comments, all in favor of accepting them with corrections that will be forthcoming, indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Committee reports at this time, Academic Affairs Committee. Thank you, Dr. Burke. First item is to approve the university's distinguished professor appointments for 2008-2009. And a motion is in order, and then we'll have comments after the motion and second for that. Is there a motion?
I move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Dr. Birch, would you address the distinguished professor appointments?
Indeed, I will, and my pleasure to do so. I am really pleased to recommend to you and present to you today two exceptional professors as candidates for distinguished professor. The first of these is Dr. Cheryl Davis. Cheryl, want to come up here and join me, and let me introduce you. I know you had a chance to read some of the things in the agenda about Cheryl, and if you did, you'll know she came here in 1991, and she is super at just about everything. She's an exceptional teacher, she's an exceptional researcher, a grants woman, and also very engaged with her students. She's always highly ranked. She's received many honors and awards, and as I asked several other people what they would tell me about Cheryl that I ought to say, over and over again I got the same thing. She's just remarkable. And they also say she gets better every year, so I'm not quite sure how she manages to do that. She's also provided leadership in a really important grant in the department, and it's one of the ones that has enabled many of the other faculty to be engaged in research. And so she's not only exceptional in her own work and that of encouraging and working with our students who are involved in research, but also working with her peers. She manages with all of this to maintain a very impressive personal life and a family life. And most of all, for someone here for such a short time, you can tell since 91 she moved through the ranks pretty fast, which means she had to be exceptional, and she's described as a person of wisdom. One of the things that I do know is that how many times when I ask for recommendations or I'm looking for somebody who can do something, Cheryl's name comes up. So I'm really pleased to present Cheryl to you, and she is very deserving of University Distinguished Professor. Okay, Cheryl, did you want to say anything to her?
Only that it is certainly an extreme honor to be nominated, and I have tremendous admiration for all the distinguished university professors, and just thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you. Our second brand new university distinguished professor this year is Dr. Michael Kostrom. Michael is a professor in the music department. And again, you can see the exceptional achievements of Dr. Kallstrom from the information in the agenda. He has been here since 1987, has his doctorate from Florida State University, and has had numerous awards, and including being the University Award winner for Research and Creativity, as well as this particular award. He's a composer, he's a performer, and a world traveler in your performances too, Michael. You've been just about everywhere in terms of his invitations, and Gary certainly extending the reputation of Western with international reach. When I ask about Michael, I do have to share with you a couple of things that were said about him. For one thing, I believe, Michael, you might be the first person in the arts to be a university distinguished professor. And so the department and the college is very proud of that. And he's the music theory coordinator, and he's a mentor to junior faculty, which is a significant role and part of what also brings him to this honor today. And a person who the department describes as an agent of change. But I must tell you what his department head said about him. She said he's an eclectic artist, an exemplary faculty colleague, sought-after teacher, internationally respected composer, and one whose long hair does not put him in the typical category of music lover, as the phrase suggests. So, but she said on another front, he does have the longest hair in the department, Michael, and she wanted to be sure of that. But long hair and long on credentials, I am pleased to present to you Dr. Michael Kallstrom. Michael, would you like to comment?
Well, I'm also honored to be nominated as a university professor. It is a special honor for me, being the first one in the performing arts to be nominated for this. So it carries special significance for me, and I think also for the other areas of the performing arts and the visual arts as well. Thank you.
But the board may or may not know is I meet a couple of times a year with our University Distinguished Professors, and that's a very important opportunity for me to get input, feedback, candid discussion on matters of the day, and it's a very important sounding board focus group and a group of advisors for me, and that is always a special opportunity, and I value that opportunity with our university's appointed distinguished professors, appointed by your peers, and there's no greater honor. So congratulations to both of you, and I look forward to working with you.
Very impressive. And our congratulations. All in favor of the motion to approve these two outstanding leaders for their as distinguished professors, indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The next item on our agenda is the approval of faculty emeritus status for recommended individuals. A motion to approve is in order.
I move that we approve.
Second.
Dr. Birch, comment at this time, please.
Just that these are both individuals with exceptional records of teaching and service to the university, and it's my pleasure to recommend them to you, both from English department.
Okay, Dr. Glasser and Dr.
Mosey.
All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The next item of business is approval of a new certificate program and family home visiting offered through the Department of Consumer and Family Sciences and the College of Health and Human Services. And the motion is approval to establish a new certificate program in family home visiting. A motion to that would be in order.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Dr. Birch, would you care to comment, please?
Yes, I would. This proposal and the one following are both from the Consumer Family Sciences Department, and Dr. Doris Sakura is here, Doris, and Dr. Janet Fugue from the department, and we'll be pleased to answer questions if you have any. But what I want to point out is that they are doing what we have brought to you several times before, and that is looking at ways with the existing talents and strengths of the department and looking at emerging needs, ways in which we can reconfigure some of our program offerings to create opportunities for people who want that kind of certification without necessarily adding to our cost and creating other kinds of challenges that we couldn't make. I do want to make one other comment about this department, because I don't know that we've had the Consumer Family Science Department before you for a proposal in a while. It's kind of a unique department in that it has more majors in it, more different majors in it, than any other department on the campus. I've never quite figured out how they balance it and make it work, but there are 9 majors in that department, ranging from design and merchandising, dietetics, hospitality, hotel, restaurant tourism, interior design, textiles, interdisciplinary early childhood, and a few others. So it's a very complex department, and I think it's to their credit to be able to draw on those disciplines and bring them together. And this particular program, the Certificate in Family Home Visiting, Doris, did you want to make a comment about it, or did Janet?
I can. This is a need that we feel is in the industry right now. As you follow child studies and as you follow the career path of many of the individuals that are in that field, they have come, and many of them that we are looking at right now for this certificate program are either Western Kentucky University graduates in family studies, child studies, and sometimes social work or psychology programs. And now their career has allowed them to be into home visiting, and this is something that in the industry is extremely important. And they're not quite ready to come back for and look at a master's program, but they need the criteria and some type of certification. So we're really looking at addressing the needs of their career. And so that is where we already have a number of students on our waiting list and potential candidates, particularly from the area in early childhood education. And so we look at that program growing very quickly.
Thank you.
You've heard the recommendation and the information regarding that, and we have the motion second. All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. The next item, 7.1.4, is approval of a minor in child studies offered through the Department of Consumer and Family Sciences and the College of Health and Human Services. And the motion is approval to establish a new minor in child studies. Entertain a motion to that effect at this time.
I move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Dr. Birch?
Just to say that this is simply adding a minor as an option to an existing major, which will strengthen students who add it to alternative majors, and I strongly recommend your approval.
All right. Any other comment or questions? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passed. 7.1.5 is approval of the Bachelor of Science Entrepreneurship offered through the Department of Management in the Gordon Ford College of Business. The motion is to approval of, to establish a new Bachelor of Science and Entrepreneurship. A motion to that effect, please.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. I have William Tallon and Dr. Zubair Mohammed, who is Department Chair of Management here. And I'm going to ask Dr. Tallon if he would join me for this one. Entrepreneurship has to be one of several areas of the university that probably is experiencing the greatest amount of interest and growth. It's also an area that lends itself to being combined with other majors as well. And I'm going to ask Bill if he might make a comment about this new major.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Dr. We're very excited about our new major in entrepreneurship. This is not your father's business program. This is a unique business program in which we train and educate students on how to bring new ideas to market and start their own businesses. So we have as much business functionality to it as some creativity as far as what we're working on and how do we have an ongoing concern bringing new ideas. We have very creative business students. We have very creative students throughout the university. And I think this will be an important major. We feel it'll be very popular. There aren't many programs in the region that have an entrepreneurship program. It will build enrollment. And the final result, we hope, would be an economic stimulus to the Commonwealth as new businesses get started by graduates. So we're very excited. We look at it as a way to grow enrollments, be interdisciplinary, be an outlet for a business major that didn't want to do one particular function, but really wants to start their own business. And the major growth sector of the economy for several years has been small businesses, so we hope that we'll be able to support that. And we appreciate your support. Any questions?
Other questions from the board? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Passes. 7.1.6 is the approval of a double degree program between Gordon Ford College of Business and St. Etienne School of Management in France. And the motion is approval to establish a double major program between Gordon Ford College of Business and St. Etienne School of Management in France.
So moved.
Second. All right. Dr. Birch?
I'm going to ask Dr. Zubair Mohammed to comment on it. I just want to make one framing comment. Internationalization is a huge priority for us, and it takes many forms. You know some of what we're doing in study abroad, but another way that we can internationalize that benefits both faculty and students is through dual degree programs where students meet residency requirements both places, similarities in curriculum, but an opportunity for a student, our students and theirs, to study in both institutions and gain degrees from both. So, Dr. Mohammed.
Good morning. It's my great opportunity to speak on this dual degree program. To my knowledge, and also this is, I think we are the only one in the state of Kentucky to offer these dual degree programs. And likewise, there are many schools nationwide, you know, who are coming on board with it, but we are glad to be ahead of the cutting edge here, cutting curve here. You know? So this was made possible because of the initiative that we took in our department last year. So we started an effort on the new major in entrepreneurship, and at the same time, we started a concentration in international business. And there is an acute need here, especially in this area, which is a home to many companies from many different parts of the world. And so we felt this need, and then we started this major. And the design is very interdisciplinary in nature, and that lends its way to do these things that we are doing with Saint-Étienne in France. And recently, myself, Dean Darrell, and Dr. Myers, and we were in Monterrey, Mexico, with the University of Autonomous, Louis, New York. Difficult for me to pronounce that. And so we are, of course, forging relationships with that university on very similar lines. So in this program, what happens is a student needs to spend, required to spend 1 year abroad, either their students at our institution or our students at their institutions, and take the courses, and we identified the total transfer of those courses, transportability of the courses. And also, in the meantime, they are required to do an internship with the company there. So when our students come back, not only they are very familiar with the system over there, but also how the businesses function, and likewise their students. So this will promote, this inter-commerce that we have between these countries. And not only that, I think it will put us, continue to kind of make us more competitive on the global arena. Okay. And in a true spirit, if you look at Western Kentucky as a leading university with international reach, so we have been the destination for the foreign students for many years. Now with this program, we are bringing foreign destinations to our students as well.
Are there any questions or comments from the board?
Does the student need to speak French to go to this program?
They have to be proficient at a sufficient level to succeed. However, this is an English-speaking university, and at this point, you pretty much picked universities for this with English-speaking instruction.
Okay.
We hope they'll learn a little while they're there. About 9 to 12 hours of languages. So while they are there, not only they are immersed in the culture, they can pick up these language courses from there too. So that again is identified as courses that they can transfer between the institutions.
It is a revenue-neutral program in that the students pay tuition at their home institutions. So it's treated as an exchange.
Okay. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Thank you. Informational items that we have, grants and contracts, you have those on pages 24 through page 42 of your agenda.
Yes. Ms. Gray, I'd like to ask Dr. Sadiq Shah, who is the Associate Vice President for this area, to please come and briefly comment on the report that you have in your room.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good morning. What I'd like to do is to share some highlights in the area of the officer-sponsored program. And the preliminary report is part of the agenda book, but I want to give you some updated numbers and also give you a summary of the major activities that have been going on. As far as the officer-sponsored program is concerned, we facilitated submitting proposals for faculty and staff worth $52.45 million to various funding agencies, federal agencies, federal agencies as well as private sector. And I'm pleased to report that we were able to receive notices for $27.45 million awards to WKU. Excuse me. And we have right now, agreements in place out of the $27.4 million, we have agreements in place for about a little less than $20 million. The rest of the awards out of $27 million will be in place. The agreements will be in place by the end of September because the federal fiscal year ends end of September. So those agreements will be fully executed by the funding agencies and they will be in place. So the total awards are $27.45 million. I should point out that there are some major initiatives across the board in sponsored program activity by faculty and staff. They cover, as we heard recently, the business school is making a major initiative in the entrepreneurship area. We received a major award from the Workforce Investment Board recently, and that effort is going to be focused on launching an entrepreneurial academy in the Elizabeth Town area, serving 8 different counties. So that's an important initiative for us where we will be engaging students and also helping entrepreneurs in that area to learn different skills, offer training programs so that they can translate their ideas into products and services, thereby supporting economic development. Our faculty members were also successful in receiving awards from the National Institute for Homeland Security. That's very competitive. And the idea there is to be able to address the homeland security concerns. They will be collaborating with companies all over the country and developing technology. Those prototypes will be then commercialized and therefore implemented in the society for addressing the needs of homeland security. So that's an important area that we've been trying to address there. The third area is that our faculty members in the College of Education and Science and Engineering, through a collaborative effort, have put together programs that improve teacher education to address the shortage as well as the quality of science teaching so that we can address the needs of the pipeline of future scientists and engineers. So there's a broad spectrum of activity in the sponsored program area through the help of creativity and scholarly activity by our faculty and staff, engaging students along the way so that they can be better prepared for the 21st century economy. The other point I would like to make is that, as we know, the economy is taking a downturn, and so we anticipate that there will be some negative impact. However, our strategy is that we want to push for increasing more industrial contracts, and I'm pleased to report that this year we have reached the mark of $4.6 million in industrial contracts providing services, research, etc. And we want to be able to push that. We also want to focus our efforts in seeking additional funding from foundations, because those are the two major areas that offer a great potential to us. So we want to be able to make a strong effort both in the industrial area as well as addressing the needs of the society by reaching out to foundations. So I'll be happy to pause here and answer any questions that you might have before I make further comments on tech transfer.
On page 27, Sadiq, what's most impressive is the degree of success of awards to proposals submitted. And as our faculty continues to transition and younger faculty come into our ranks, we need to continue to create a culture where faculty both have incentives but understand the odds. Yes. And if we can simply resume a level of proposals and exceed that, the odds are good that they're going to get funded. There's a terrific infrastructure in place to support our faculty in preparation of their proposals, and this is the heart of capacity for faculty to do their scholarly activity, and it's highly commendable that we are achieving such a high percentage of awards when compared to proposals submitted. So that's the number we have to drive up, is number of proposals submitted, assuming we can sustain a level of success that we've been able to achieve over the last several years.
Point. And the other thing to add to that would be the dollar amount requested in those proposals is also important. The higher it is, the more we can receive.
Which also points up the point we were talking about yesterday, why you have to keep the professional development money there for faculty, because to get into the success column, you have to have that groundwork so your proposal looks as impressive as it possibly can to get into the acceptance column. Yeah. So that's the basic building block.
Excellent point. Just to kind of highlight, recently we got 20 people in the international arena that we educated them on what different agencies offer funding, and we offer education in the area of what they're looking for and how best we can position our proposals so that they're competitive. So I fully agree with the comment here that we need to do more and more of that. And we did the same thing for the National Institute for Homeland Security. We brought a group of faculty together, worked with them, we brainstormed and identified areas of opportunities, and then we put together proposals and submit those. We submitted 19 white papers, and we received 3. In the state of Kentucky, they gave out only 11. So
so that was very, very competitive. So I'm proud to say my colleagues did very, very well there. Yes, I agree with your comment.
Before you turn your attention to technology transfer, I don't want to get out in front of her, but I just got a copy of this yesterday, and Robin's on your agenda later in on the agenda later this morning. But let me circulate around a news release that we received late yesterday that will give you some encouragement that these numbers for next for the current year. And this is not a political comment whatsoever. It's the simple reality of having a member of the Senate Appropriations Committee in our federal delegation, and the manner in which this university continues to benefit from his well-placed capacity to deliver. Funding for this agriculture research facility, this lab, will be our first federal research lab and is going to be a huge factor in our capacity for grants and contracts going forward, particularly when this gets built. And we've received several earmarks for this regard over the last 4 or 5 years, I guess. And the reason it started out being about a $22 million project, I expect it's probably up to $28 or $30 million now, simply because as time goes on and this gets funded a bit each year, the cost of it, I'm sure, will grow. But at any rate, we're gradually getting to a point where this building will replace the north wing of Thompson Complex. Once the new Snell Hall is completed and the center wing is renovated, the next step would be to bring down the north wing and this agricultural research lab will replace that facility. So this is very significant, because this is Kentucky's. There will be two, one at UK and one here, and it'll be Kentucky's first federal research lab opportunity, and we're really boosted by Senator McConnell's delivering on the funding of that lab, and this is an important confidence builder at a time when competition for the Z marks is very keen in the Congress.
And that's one of several that have been announced this summer so far, but they were clarified, make sure everybody understands that's the first step in this process. They go through the Senate Appropriations Committee, and then by the full Senate, the House must act as
But these numbers are, you know, are reflected in what you're describing here, and it's an important dimension of our total sponsored research, grants and contracts profile.
Just one last comment about the funding program, that we also administer internal funds for scholarship and creative activity. We do that to encourage faculty members to generate some preliminary data, so that by the time they're ready to submit their full proposal, they have some initial data. Their proposals are very, very competitive. And Potter College received 37% of those scholarships, Ogden College 33%, and College of Education 12%, and Health and Human Services 4%. These are all competitive. They submit applications, and faculty members on the council, they review those applications and then approve. So that's another dimension to supporting the growth of the sponsored area. Okay, let me make some brief comments with regard to the technology transfer initiative. As you all know, that's a relatively new initiative on campus. Over the last 2 years, we have put together policies, procedures, mechanisms in place, as well as educational programs, one-on-one counseling or group sessions with educated faculty and students as it comes to the technology transfer area. I'm pleased to report that when we started the initiative, at that time, we only had 3 invention disclosures, and today we have 31 disclosures. Not all of those disclosures are going to lead to commercialization. Some of them are in the early stages. Some of them may not have market potential. But so far, we have been able to submit 3 patent applications, 2 copyright applications, and 1 trademark application. And out of those 31, we have already executed agreements with private sector companies for 7 of those intellectual properties. And we anticipate that based on our estimates, the conservative estimate is the revenue is going to be $1.93 million. Now, if these companies are successful in generating additional revenue for themselves, then we will get a share of that too. But $1.93 million is the absolute conservative minimum that we can see. So we're pleased with that initial positive outcome of the initiative, and we will continue to offer education programs, one-on-one counseling for faculty members and staff and students, and hopefully we can grow that program as well.
This is the next emerging dimension for this university, and it's something that is still some uncharted water for. Those waters are becoming more and more charted. So, this is encouraging.
Any comments or questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Skip. Dr. Birch?
Yes. 1 or 2 more information items. Yes. Very quickly, you've got a one-pager on item 7.1.8 on the doctorate. We mentioned to you earlier that program got off the ground last week. Dr. Feeney, who is director of that program, is not here today because she's with the doctoral students. But I do want to mention to you that there were 2 people who launched this, and the other was Randy Capps. We sort of drafted Randy into this program, and we have just had a really great beginning. I think you're going to end up finding recognition for this program across the country because it really is unique. We did briefly note for you that we have 24 students from 10 different counties in Kentucky, 1 in Tennessee, 8 different school districts represented, KCTCS, UK Cooperative, someone from EKU, which is, we were kind of surprised they came here for our program instead of the Eastern program, and that was fine too. A nonprofit, and we have reps on that in that first initial class from Main Campus Community College and our regional campuses. So it's a really good mix, and we'll keep you apprised as we move along with the model, but we're off to a good beginning.
I would remind the board, this program has 4 tracks.
Has 4 strands to it, right. And the P-12 administrative leadership has the teacher leader. It has the post-secondary leader, which can be community technical college, post-secondary education, but not research university professors. We are not in that business. And then the organizational leader, with the idea that we talk so much in Kentucky and on campus about the need for partnerships and collaboratives and working together. We have in our colleges numerous instances of partnerships with different community partners, ranging from housing authority to other kinds of agencies. So we really structured this program to look at educational leaders across the spectrum, bringing them in, working them together in a cohort, and then branching off into the specializations. And most of the research applications in this program, including their final research project, are geared to applying them to work settings, to things they're doing or things they're planning to do. So there ought to be a lot of give back in this to the agencies and organizations and schools from whom they hail.
Dr. Birch, what's the idea of the cycle of the second cohort? Is that a semester or is it a year?
Second cohort will come in January. We're already planning second cohort, and we've got a pretty good list waiting. And right now, we're anticipating 2 cohorts a year. That's probably all we can handle at this point. Is that pretty fair, Randy? And it will get it's kind of an interesting flow to it because it it takes on a different life of its own once you bring in that second and third cohort, because you're adding to the mix. So, but we will have two cohorts a year.
Very good. Selection for the National Kettering Foundation Initiative.
Just a brief comment on it. We are really pleased that we have reached the point in our commitment to work on student leadership, on getting our students to be more skilled at how to bring about meaningful change, at social responsibility, citizenship, those dimensions in addition to the academic and social dimensions on campus that we did not necessarily apply for, but we were delighted to be invited to be part of a new Kettering initiative. And I'd like to just take one or two minutes and introduce to you Dr. Eric Bain Sabo. Eric is the department head in religion and philosophy. And when we were invited by Kettering, it's really a partnership with Kettering and the University of Minnesota Center for Democracy and Citizenship, which has been around a long time, with Dr. Harry Boyd. And so Eric has interest in this area, and we picked Eric to be our rep to go to Kettering and be one of five people for a national planning group. And since then, we are one of eight, Eric, campuses selected?
12.
One of 12 campuses selected to be in the national pilot. Eric's going to chair that for us, and we'll have a campus team, but you might just explain what happened.
Sure. I went to Dayton, and the Kettering Foundation sort of served as a venue for the American Association of State Colleges and Universities, which is teaming up with Harry Boyd and the Center for Democracy and Citizenship at the University of Minnesota. And Harry Boyd, I should mention, is a longtime community organizer. He was involved in the civil rights movement. He's been a community organizer for years before going into academia. So that's sort of his background. So he's an expert in many of the things that we're interested in. And so the Kettering Foundation was a venue to bring together some ASCU schools. There were Kettering Foundation people who were also there because they're interested in deliberative democracy and democracy issues. So they're interested in the project that ASCU and CDC are starting. And this is really about, the project is really about civic agency. And it really builds on the things that Western Kentucky is already doing. And I would just reaffirm what Dr. Burke said in terms of all the things that Western Kentucky University already does in terms of engagement with various communities and constituencies. And in fact, we're among our peers, we're very much at the forefront of this, and I think this is why we've been invited to be a part of this initiative. And what this is, the idea behind the Civic Agency Initiative is not so much creating new programs or new initiatives necessarily, though it could lead to those sorts of things. It's really about changing the way in which the institution engages other communities. And it uses the community organizing model as central to this. And in that sense, it goes a little bit beyond service learning, community service, internships, volunteerism, which are all good. There's nothing wrong with those things, and we do many of them. Oh, well, we do all of them, and we do them very well. But this is looking at a different way of approaching that relationship, and I think it's going to have some interesting curricular as well as co-curricular implications here at Western. And again, really, in many ways, building upon what we already do, and also thinking in terms about the community organizing model internally and whether that would be a way of from my perspective, I'm always thinking faculty, maybe that would be a way of providing opportunities for faculty to have working on innovative and creative activities across disciplines, across colleges, etc.
I would say at the end of it, as we put our team together, we'll be working with the student organizations, we'll be working with student affairs, with student leadership. because what we're heading toward in our commitment is that we'd like, as you think of all the other wonderful things that characterize Western graduates, we'd like people to think that Western graduates have developed leadership skills and they know how to make positive differences in the work that they do and for their communities. And so it's some of the knowledge and skills that we'll be building in both co-curricular and curricular, as Erica said. And we don't know a lot more than that about it yet because we only found out a couple days ago that we're in this. But we will have a campus-based team, and I think we'll get some good benefits.
In our community, we had this same type of thing, and I was part of a team that went to Kettering and the Kettering Foundation, and they were doing this same type thing with communities, and now that they are doing with universities and a team and how to solve community politics and framing situations and how to deal with those situations. And it was a very good experience, and it has helped our community. Not only, this was like maybe 5 years ago or so, and it's still continuing to help our community, the things that we can draw on from the Kettering experience that teaches us how to.
It's based on a model of collaboration, problem solving, mutual benefit kind of things, learning to work in teams.
Right.
And everywhere you look, those are kinds of skills that we're being told that it's important for our students to acquire. So we think it can be a real win-win.
And how long of a period will this run, this program run?
3 years, I think.
3 years is the pilot, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Good. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Birch.
Student Affairs Committee, Ms. Haskins. Two informational items.
Talk about timely.